Get welcome to the October 29th use case realization call. we're just getting started here. So we have last week Fred De Oliveira gave a talk on the Etsy alignment use case. Today we're going to be talking about at the start of R8 here, some of the use cases, the way of working process, and the key release updates that are happening in the marketing press release as we close out on the R7 release for Guilin. I've asked Zhu Sheng from Ericsson to give a talk on PNF software upgrade, and I'm waiting to hear back from him if he can give a talk next week or possibly December 3rd. so we'll see what the next week's slot might be. There was also quite a bit of row for the SO service orchestrator. There was apparently from various development teams, we heard on the TSC last week that there was quite a bit of, not churn, but basically SO releases internally out of AT&T every few months. And that's causing issues where the rest of the community is sort of trying to sync up to that. And it's causing problems. So we might be hosting a talk there as well. The following week, the Swami and Ling Meng from the end-to-end network slicing team will give an overview of their progress there, some insights into, I guess also they'll probably be talking about R8 as well. Some of their accomplishments in our R7 as well. And then the CPS team, of which I'm pretty heavily involved in actually, will be giving a presentation on the CPS overview, but also the API overview and CPS concepts, which Toyn, who's the new PTL of the project, we'll be discussing the API for the CPS for other use cases to use. And then the following week, there's a sort of holidays in the USA. And then we do have some other things happening as well. Tracy Van Brackel is planning for the C release. So I don't know what the C release is, but the OSC C release. I think another ORAN plugfest, and people may be involved with that. She canceled the planning meeting for today, so I'm not sure what's exactly happening there. It should be the first week in December, though. we had heard twice actually from David McBride, so this is already kind of taken care of, and he's. We'll be talking about some of his dashboard stuff in a second here. I had also talked to Sophia Wallen, and she had already talked at a half of meeting here once. And I think the documentation process and the read the docs can be very confusing and difficult to use. So I think it would be nice if the document team was able to give a little bit more insight into that. I had also started to put together a set of slides for that as well, which I can share as well at some point. Okay, so let's see with that. Let me just write down who's here. Okay. All right. so the first thing here, I'm going to just touch on the Guilin key release updates. Let me go to this page here. Let me put in the chat for everybody too. Chat here. Okay, to everybody, so you can follow along. So this page is a really interesting page. I think maybe you should take a look at it if you haven't already. So this gives you a detailed view of some of the major things that happened in Guilin. So ANI, some model updates from various use cases. we've had a new PTL too, and Bill Raheel, I've actually had him talk as well to to talk about some of the things and to have a Q&A in ANI. So what I've done actually towards the start of a release, which we're kind of at a start of release for R8, is I invite the PTLs to come and have a talk, a Q&A with people. So for example, I had Bill Raheel and Jimmy Forsyth in July come and talk to the use case teams, and they can basically just, rather than each of the use cases set up an individual meeting with each of the PTLs. What I actually did in R7 was I created a sort of a matrix of the use cases against their anticipated impacts, and then I went to the PTLs that had a lot of impacts, and I invited them to the use case realization call. So we had a modeling talk with a modeling team, which I'll probably do again. We had a talk with Vijay from DC, the PTL of DCAE, Dan Timoney, the CCSEK, and Bill Raheel, ANEI. And those meetings are tagged in blue, so you can listen to those. And what I've also done for those meetings as well is I went through across the I went across the each of the use cases you see here. So I have a link to all of the use cases, the tickets, and the impact, so there can be a meaningful discussion for those with the PTLs. So let's see. DCAE, there was some. So the CMPV2 use case from Nokia was working on some advancements, finalizing their cert manager there, Cloudify container optimization, and support for the. This is one of the use cases as well for the standard defined VES event, which the DCA VES collector receives, which you'll see below. We'll describes that some more, and the 7.2 document only recently got approved, but I guess it's still in the time frame, and I should probably put that document got updated as well. So then as we scroll down, we'll see actually the actually one interesting thing is I don't know if they mentioned AF because AF, yeah, so AF is a little complex because there are things that are made that should have gone into AAF, for example, the CMPV2 stuff, but they had tried to find a new PTL for AF, but couldn't find a new PTL. So it's in a maintenance state. And what that means to people is that you can use AF, it's just that it's not updated at all. There's no none of the bugs or JIRA tickets have been worked. Also, ESR from AAI is also in maintenance state, and so is the AA Sparky. Now, if you actually attend the ANA calls, I had been attending the ANA calls for a long time, and they had a similar sort of thing. They had basically had lost their lead person for that. They found temporarily a new one, a new person, and then they lost support for it. So this external system register thing, which allows ONAP to sort of talk to an external EMS, seems useful to me, and so it is AF as well for security and other things. So I had said at the meeting, this week, which actually I'll talk about as well. So there was a process talk about the retirement stuff. Let me see. Did I lose? Oh, here it is. Okay. there was a meeting about that yesterday, talking about the, oops, what's going on? About the retirement of things in maintenance, deprecated and deprecated components, which affects the whole community. All right. So, let me see. Okay. So those are definitely, even though they're sort of just a couple of lines here, they're pretty big topics of news. and then we come to the use cases. Down towards the bottom here. Okay. So these are where I think we're going to focus a little bit on here. And first of all, if you don't have an entry like the A1 standards alignment, I think this actually didn't happen from what I heard from some of the, I don't know, maybe Kimmel knows, but from Ericsson was working this A1 policy alignment thing. And I don't know if they did anything here. 5G NRM, I know, didn't happen, so there was no updates here. I did hear from Yaogang Wang. There was no updates in R7 for this. and bulk PM control also, we need Michaela, I think, to update here. I don't know if Kimmel, can you maybe reach out to Michaela? Is she do you have like a internal in Ericsson, do you have like a internal like a chat tool or an internal messaging sort of system?
Ben, I'm not in front of my computer, so I'm
Oh,
taking the
okay.
call
Okay,
on
no
my
problem.
phone.
Okay.
So yeah, I
Yeah.
think when I will be
Yeah, but maybe you could, and I can also reach out to them as well. But basically, the purpose of this is they. So the if you look at the high level, like the very highest level wiki.onapp.org, there are actually marketing highlights. So if you look at the Frankfurt highlights deck, let me see. So there are like these sort of marketing release briefs that talk about at a high level. So what they do is there's like a press release, and I work with some of the marketing people in ONAP. Amar Kapadia, who's the 5G sort of marketing press person, and I work with him. He takes in the inputs and creates a couple of sort of inputs. Basically, it takes inputs from these things. So, all the work you did, if you want it to be noticed or heard in any way, shape, or form, this is the place to write something about it. So, like the Etsy alignment stuff, you should, you guys, whatever work you've done, you should probably put something here as well, like Fred and Byung. just some bullet points or highlights of what you did. What you accomplish, what you're trying to accomplish, maybe, the start of CNF orchestration or whatever. Looking at, even just studying getting all of your ducks in a row for all of the Etsy SL 001 through 7 standards and stuff. And then what benefit does it bring? So I wrote entries. I was working on the standardified invest stuff. I was working on the service modeling stuff. I wrote the entry for plug and play, PNF onboarding, and the CPS I helped out with, CNPV2. So I should probably should probably write a little more. These were fairly quickly hammered out by me, but because I work directly also with the 5G marketing brief person, I can go into a little bit more detail, but these are the sort of things that that become visible to just other people who are looking at ONAP. So I'm just going to look at some of my entries that I wrote, and you get a sense of what to write. And I'm probably also going to beef them up a little bit here too. So so this use case incorporated the 5G RAN wireless resource model into ONAP, which is defined from 3GPP standards. And the 5G NRM is a common of vendor agnostic network model inspired from the standards, which provides a common basis for all wireless vendors to have a set of parameters that are in common across the vendors to that, so that service providers have a more uniform, set of objects, parameters, and models to represent a wireless network. And that's really kind of what the 5G NRM is about. It's not new, of course, and has evolved over quite a bit of time. This is the 5G NRM. There is also a 4G NRM, and it's based also on which builds upon the federated information model, the unified information model, specified in 3GPP. 3GPP TS28.620 and TS28.622. Okay, so the standard alignment VES event. So this should probably say standards defined VES event. So the development of a support of a standard defined VES event, which is officially just STND defined. This new VES event, or this new domain of a VES event, allows ONAP to support basically many more standards and standard defined messages, and opens the possibility for ONAP to support a wide variety of messaging coming from various other domains. basically, the standard defined is a new VES domain, and it is specified in the VES 7.2 specification, or it is defined which is here. And also in the read the docs. So it also introduces a new namespace to be published onto the DMAP bus. which allows for internal routing of information coming from XNFs, for example, GPP configuration would indicate a CM type information coming from the system. Okay. From an XNF.
Ben?
Yeah.
And this Fred is gone. So I'm going to talk to Fred about we're going to update SEO alignment site.
That would be great. Yeah.
We'll do it.
Okay. Okay. Good. Okay. They did send a message out, so they're starting to analyze it already. So you do want to try to get that done as soon as possible, today if possible.
Sure, we try to sometime tomorrow, today afternoon. Yeah. We try to update.
Yeah, that would be.
This is for Guilin, right? So
this for R7, yes, correct. So okay. if you have stuff, maybe you can say you're planning to do something, but it really should be like what you achieved in in R7. So there'll be another one with every release. So and the next release is coming pretty soon. And I think R7 got delayed by 2 weeks. I think Timo has been on, who's on the call, has been in who has a little bit more knowledge about the. I heard from Timo that the release got shifted out by 2 weeks. So
2 weeks, okay.
So maybe you have a little bit more time here. But I did receive an message like they want they're starting to look at this. So you should probably try to get this in as soon as possible. That's why I'm kind of trying to get it done now. Okay, so.
Ben, one quick question. What's the two weeks? So final or RC1?
Yeah, RC0, I think. Let's see. I don't know. Timo, do you have any slides on that? Let me see if I have.
NEI RC0 passed, I think. I heard this from Bill in NEI call.
Yeah, so there will... This is the release map on timeline. And from what I heard from Timo, this moved out to mid-November 19th, I think, is the sign-off date for release 7.
November 19th?
I think so. Yeah, that's correct. Timo here, so that's
how it is.
How about RC1?
So
RC2.
Well, if you go back, Ben, I think if you go to the Guilin page.
Ah, okay.
That would probably explain. So just so here you can see. Here. So we combined RC2 with sign off like we did with one of the previous releases as well, and the RC1 is then 5th of November. So right. RC0 was pushed. I mean that was the one that caused the delay, and now. As far as I understood from the TSC discussion, it's really, really difficult to delay anymore. So basically it means that if some things will not meet the milestone requirements, then it's seriously in a threat of being descoped.
Yep. Right. So
I mean, we are then after that TSC meeting on 19th, after that, we are really close to the holiday season, and then people start to disappear. So I think that's the threat people feel we are facing. So pretty much, I think we could treat 19th as the kind of a hard deadline. I don't believe it will slip more than a few days only.
Yeah, because if it slips after this, you're slipping into January, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it is.
Yeah, so. But okay, so I think usually the RCs, the early milestones also align to the sign-off date. So if G's sign-off date is November 19th, that means the official approval of M1 is probably going to be around that time as well. So this all moves off by a little bit, basically. So we've already kind of had the H kickoff, right? Is that? They're showing the H kickoff aligning with RC0, which means it would have happened a couple weeks ago, right?
I think there is also another picture which actually has the G milestones better aligned with the H milestones.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I think this is probably picture, not. Yeah. I guess this is not exactly correct. So I guess the was it so that the sign off should align with the kickoff, or how was it? I think something like this. But if you, for example, look at the October 1st RC0 up there, and then you kind of look to the bottom of the page. that actually lines with end of October. So definitely those G milestones are not
right.
Of,
yeah, yeah.
In the same calendar as the H milestones are.
Right. Yeah. So I think the H won't really kick off until, won't really start to get worked until G sign off, but we do have the H release, all the requirements have, like at this point, all of the requirement proposals have been done. So we already know the content of release 8, and in the actual DDF, people gave the final presentations, requirement presentations. So the next step actually is the architecture presentation. So I was just on the architecture call on Tuesday, and Chakar talked about the architecture presentation. So if you're working use cases, you want to start preparing for those. And I have talked to him about the Jira ticket. So if you remember from the release 7, he actually created separate tracking architecture Jiras. This time he's not planning to do that. So all you need to do is make sure you have your REQ tickets in place, and then prepare your architecture presentation. So I'll talk about that in a second. Let me just finish this really quick here. So I think, so Timo, I also added the thing for licensing management. So maybe you can, I just wrote something really quickly. If you could go to this page, which is in the chat, and update it for licensing management, that would be good. Basically, what did they achieve in R7? I'm on the calls, but you're more involved with it than I am. So I just wrote that basically we put in some of the groundwork for external licensing management operation, which allows for essentially greater interoperability between service providers and vendors. I guess we also introduced a flow into plug and play. I suppose we can mention that as well.
Yeah, sure. I can take a look on that and see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think, let me just put a link to that. I think a lot of people just aren't on those mailing lists or whatever. Let me see. So they didn't see the call for the use case teams to write about these things here. Let me go back to here. Okay. All right, so the next one is a plug and play. So development of building blocks in SO to support PNA plug and play flow, the migration of PNF workflow building blocks allows for a more streamlined management of SO workflow execution. Also, we did a modeling analysis of geolocation and place objects driven from RFC 6225 and the MEFTM GB922 standards. Okay, so and that was approved. So the model contributions.
Is the testing completed, Ben?
So basically, I can walk you through that really quick. Let me just see if I can.
I know Christoph was doing the testing.
Yeah.
Using the new workflow. Mm-hmm. My understanding.
Yeah. 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 So I think testing for the building block stuff. I think testing is complete for that, because I know for the Nokia team is now looking at for R8 doing the vid work. To complement the BB stuff. Yeah. So and many other use cases are also depending on the building block stuff. And I should mention also some of the building block examples, I think. Let me just see here.
Because my understanding now, we are not leveraging on the VCP workflow anymore.
Okay, yeah. So these are the ones that I'm aware of. They assign PFBB, wafer ready PB, and Solimir. Now you mentioned those. these include the assign PNF building block, wait for PNF ready building block, config assign PNF building block, and config deploy PNF building block. So I think there are other ones that other use cases have introduced. So I'm not sure. So these are the ones I know that the Nokia team worked on and they've tested, and I'm told that they're ready to go. But I know this overall infrastructure work affects other use cases as well. So Okay.
As you said, maybe in Honolulu they will tackle the vid part because
I
went through the testing. It was mm-hmm. I don't know, it's quite some time now, and it was in progress. That's the reason why I asked you if the testing is completed or not.
Yeah, right. That's a good question. Complement the so building block work completed in R7. Okay. And okay, so the CPS stuff is there, and so CPS introduces a data layer into ONAP to store and manage network element data. Okay. And then finally, CMPV2 is a standardized certificate-based exchange protocol introduced to enhance security on ONAP. Okay. So CMPV2. CMP is a protocol for X.509 digital certificate management in a PKI infrastructure described RFC 4210, and is one of the protocols used for certificate request message format. Okay. Okay. So Timo, if you could take a look at licensing management, is there a licensing meeting today? Or no? I don't know if there's a licensing meeting today. Do you know, Timo? I don't think so. So, but yeah. Anyway, so you should
Sorry, was on double muted. So oh, yeah. No, we don't.
Okay. All right. So maybe just also, you might want to mention this to Samuli too. That. I think maybe you weren't on the call yet when I mentioned we're just talking about this, but basically whatever you put here is kind of like at the very highest level of ONAP. you know, it's the sort of marketing press release, right? So, you know, this is the input they use for the very highest level of what's highlighted in, you know, in Guilin. Sure. So, you know, it's pretty important to try to get to so the work that we've done is recognized. Okay. Right. So let's see. So there was also a talk about the deprecated components. I'll talk about that next. And I there is a page that, and there's now a weekly meeting for this as well. So there's a page that is being put together, and these are just notes that I took a snapshot of. So Catherine was working this. I'll delete this graphic eventually, but this is in the R8 pages. So if you look, I'll put this in the chat here. So this is all the R8 pages here. And also, Byung, if you go to the Etsy page, there's also, I think Fred started an Etsy alignment page, which you might want to take a look at.
Okay.
So if you look here, I think there's still a lot of information that's not filled in.
Okay.
So basically, you can just put like who's working at key leads and links to preview, you know, your REQ and then the business driver stuff and then the component impacts and stuff.
Sure.
But the page is kind of just created, but not really filled in yet. Anyway.
Can you send the,
it's in the chat.
The link?
Yeah, it's in the chat.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Yeah. The Etsy, it's here, but I can copy this too if you want. So this is the exact Etsy page.
You can copy and we can modify it.
Yeah, that's the exact Etsy page. Okay. Basically, there was a discussion being led by Catherine from the TSC. It's a separate one-off meeting, and it was on Tuesday, 2 days ago, talking about basically what happens to things that go into maintenance and how it affects use cases and architecture and other components that depend on it and teams that have contributed to that. So there was a whole list of ones that are in maintenance, AAF, APC, the ANAR ESR component of ANI, ANI Sparky, Music, Logging, and Pomba. So currently, these are components that are basically use at your own risk, which means that they're not gone per se. You can still build ONAP using them. It's just that they're older and essentially not being updated and therefore, that means that you might encounter issues with them. There's no bugs are being worked for them, no Jira tickets and stuff. And notably,
Hi Ben, I have a comment on this. As you explained it in the beginning, mainly for AAF. Mm. I mean, AAF, as you know, some of the components, I'm talking from my experience, sometimes ANAI certificates get expired, sometimes CISA or SDNC certificates get expired. So, and then the AAF team used to regenerate these certificates. So now if it goes to a maintenance mode, are they going to continue doing this or to provide patches or how it's going to be handled?
Yeah, so my understanding is that those certificates and stuff that it used to generate, I think you can still do those things. It still has its base functionality. It's just that there's no PTL anymore per se. So
okay.
And I do know that some teams are using AF still, but there was a lot of discussion, and I suggested, you know, maybe hibernate might be a better word because they're trying to describe two unique states, right? One is a retiring the component, so like it's kind of not like removed.
Yeah.
And the other is sort of a maintenance is also okay too. Basically, it's kind of like saying it's not dead, but it's sort of like use at your own risk. So it really requires a lot of description for people to understand what it means. And it doesn't mean that it's gone forever. If, for example, right now somebody said, I would like to be the PTL of AF, it would come back like immediately.
Okay.
So I think, and many people on the call, and it was quite a interesting discussion, many people on the call, like myself included, I said, you know, Nokia contributed CMPV2. I said, you know, it's not that AF is seen as useful. It's just that, you know, we didn't have the cycles to take to be the PTL, but we still want to contribute to AF, and we had the CMPV2 development. From her project management standpoint, you know, if you put her project management hat on, she called out many times for people to, you know, ask for is can we still support this? And she asked for a PTL to take over, but nobody stepped up. So in her mind, she thought this wasn't useful anymore. So I said, that's not the case. It's useful. It's just that, you know, the people didn't have the bandwidth to take on the PTL role, which is, you know, quite a lot of work. So, but she also tried to define what does it mean to be in maintenance. So a final call to the community, reviewing its dependencies to other components to have, and Chakar spoke up, he said, you know, if you want to resurrect it, they talked about resurrecting as well, like the process of resurrecting. If you want to resurrect it, what do you have to do to go through another architecture review? To update the, so I mentioned this actually before Tracker joined the call, I said you also should update the architecture diagrams and references and identify potential remaining committers and archive those repositories that aren't being used and the repositories wiki page. I'll show you the architecture portal here. I think this is a really good, let me see. This is it here. Yeah. So if you go to this page, I'll put in the chat for you. So this is a page that everybody should be familiar with. Chakar spent months putting this together. Basically, it's the high-level architecture portal page. So you see here that logging and audit are, he shows it as basically in maintenance. And you should probably mark the ESR one in maintenance as well. Eventually, I think he has a diagram also where CPS is, the configuration persistence service is also shown as a new component. And I've been working with Chakar. So at the other thing we're working on is the flows. So I don't know if he's put anything here yet, but we're talking about new flows for each of these functions, which will describe sort of the end-to-end architecture flows as well for the use cases and components. Okay, so that's what we mean here by updating the architecture diagrams and references, like basically showing that these things are in maintenance state. And then removing Jenkins jobs and informing and socializing the maintenance state, and then security subcommittee being notified as well. Okay, so there are weekly meetings now for this, and they're on Tuesdays. So if you're interested, you can let Catherine know or let me know, and I can have you added to the invite. So this is their first meeting just this past Tuesday. So they're trying to basically, I assume they're not going to go on forever. They're probably just a few meetings to describe and discuss what does it mean to be in maintenance and or hibernate or to remove the component and stuff. So I think they're defining the process moving forward of what they want to do, I think. So. Okay, and then also what I did was on this page here, I also put, thanks Bian, I also put here links to high level links of slides for all of the use cases because I was presenting on one of the conferences and people were asking, you know, is there a sort of summary where you can just find information about the use cases. So in this page, I put a table of some of the highest level use cases and their slides, and then demos or talks about them. So where we have talks in the realization calls, what I do is I highlight them in yellow. So for example, the LHC alignment use case was talking about. Last week, Fred gave a talk on the use case, that's the alignment use case for R7 and R8 for CNF orchestration. And basically that anything highlighted in yellow are the sort of use case team overviews and talks from the use case teams. And so this recording, which is really good, like I feel like I have a much better understanding of the Etsy alignment use case. So if you want to know more, you can go to this link and find out more. And what I also did was I basically took that link on October 21. I should have taken that link on October 21 and put it on. I didn't yet. Okay. So this is the, I view as the sort of the best recording overview of this. And there were some also at the DDF, which would also serve well as I think as well. And I saw Michaela was trying to upload or download things from the DDF, and maybe Timo knows. I think they're trying to get the, let me see. I think they're trying to get the recordings in place. I don't know if that's happened yet though. Let me see. Yeah, so here are some of the recordings I think for some of the use cases. Go ahead.
I guess we are missing quite a few of them. I think they are coming little by little.
Right. So I think Mikkel was having, I saw some email that Mikkel was having some trouble uploading or downloading some things, and people are slowly trying to figure out how to do that. And I think there was some security thing that Kenny Paul added, some security thing which made it hard for people to upload or download the video, I think. I had managed to put mine in there, so I think I'm pretty sure mine's in here already. Yeah, so I added the CPS talk that I gave. I don't know if I had the, oh no, my other talk was part of Ala's talk, so I don't know if Ala had uploaded her thing yet. It doesn't look like it. Anyway, you can come here to the, I'll just put in the chat here. If you go to here, these are a lot of the recordings. What I'm going to do is I'm going to probably take a listen on some of these and see if they are good high level overviews of something, like maybe the NN network slicing. What I'll do is probably take that and either separately upload it to here, so you have a one-stop shop for all of the use cases. And some of these I know don't have one. So the ones that are empty here are also good candidates for maybe future realization calls. That's why I asked Zhu if he wanted to give a talk on PNF software upgrade. I know he did give one at the OSC release 2 ORAN Plugfest. It was really good. I was looking for a link for it, but anyway, I think it would be good for everybody to learn here. I'm gonna touch base, I think, with Powell and Nokia to give a talk on CNPV2 as well. I think that would be good. So those are things that I think would be very useful. And I've tried to find the latest slides as well that people have used for those presentations. Let's see, what else are we? Oh yeah, so in the last 10 minutes here, I would like to talk about the way of working process. So we're pretty far along here. Let's see, so use case way of working. Last time we worked on this, we had a PTL on the call, and Dan was really helpful in helping us, and Bill were really helpful in finding some links. So I think we're really far along. I think we're just about done here, actually. So what I've tried to do is to describe the process that people should be using for through the releases, and basically, so Bill had provided some examples of tasks and things. And I think we were just now at the very last stages here at M4. And then just cleaning up on the RC stuff. So let me see. in the early things, I put in links that you, you know, what should be useful links to people to, as they start working early in the release, their requirements templates and things. So I'm just gonna, let's see, clean up some of this. And I'm gonna present this at the TSC. When we have it all ready, which I feel we're pretty close to there. I think we just need to add a few updates. So I think we've got most of these things in place here. Okay. So I think at M4, what is the modeling team doing? I think they're planning for the next release. So if we go take a look at the modeling team. So I've worked on all of these processes. So they have at least a common kind of look and feel because I worked on them. So the at M4, the modeling is doing this stuff. And I think probably we can cross mention what's happening here. And so I think model updates from use case teams. And then the use case teams can also feed in input for the next release. And I can show you, actually, that's what I've been doing already. So actually, let me mention to you that. Let me just show you what we're doing there. I think that's also useful to talk about. Let me see. Okay, I think I have it right here. High level model requirements here. Okay, let me put it in the chat here. Okay, so if you go to this page two, this shows you the high level model requirements. So this page here has all of the major requirements and what's happening and software impacts to the model requirements. So this is really what we mean in the high-level model requirements. So actually, I can even mention that in the way of working page here. Let me see if I can find where it was here. Here it is. Okay. So let me move this to the left. So all right. So for example, in our 7 Guilin release, the R8 Honolulu high level model requirements are open. Okay. Oops, put in the wrong section here. All right. Okay, and then so any API changes from use cases should also be communicated modeling team. coming from M4 development should be communicated. Architecture subcommittee and updates to the platform component diagrams should be made. Okay. And I think also at M4, so the main thing that's happening here is, of course, the platform component deliveries are being made. by each of the use case teams. Impacts to components and things that might be descoped should be considered. Each of the component teams deliver code in this by M4. Okay. And then so I'll work on filling out some of this today. So I think the M4 stuff is pretty good. Oops, okay. All right, so I think the RC0 stuff is a little bit more straightforward. And then I think we're more or less ready to present, I think, to the TSC. Okay, let me just update this. All right, any other final comments or thoughts before we close? We just have like a minute left, so. So we talked about all these things, I think, covered all the key topics. So I am waiting to hear back from Zhu to see if he can give a talk on PNF software upgrade next week, and possibly next week might, if not, we might have Sashu talking about the sort of big code dumps that are happening from SO to see if we can resolve some of that and have a working meeting on that. And then after that, the end-to-end network slicing gives an overview, and CPS team will give an overview and talk about their APIs. And then we start getting into the holidays, at least the USA has a bank holiday at the end of November. Okay, all right, thank you everybody for joining, and have a great day then. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, bye.